It's Marketplace Tech for Friday the 19th. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. Twitter flipped a switch this weekend. Bam! Users in Germany could no longer see the tweets of a banned neo-Nazi group. German police wrote Twitter, trying to get the account shut off completely. Instead, Twitter confined the blackout to Germany. How'd they do that? The short message social networking company had already engineered a system to block content country by country, a system it controls, not the nation involved. Emma Alonso at the Center for Democracy and Technology sees Twitter's response as limited and appropriate, but
if Twitter or other companies start responding to less formal requests from government that's not something that's gone through a full court or administrative process and is just the government calling up and saying, we don't really like this, yeah, can you make sure this isn't accessible in our country, that would raise a concern.
Beyond the hate speech versus free speech angle here, Harvard's Jonathan Zittrain sees a growing tension brewing between efforts to wall off the Internet country by country and new technologies to defeat that.
It's not just happening with sort of one-off requests for censorship. People that want to see Downton Abbey season 3 right now in America are out of luck, while anybody wandering around Britain with an internet connection can watch it for free. And we see some desperate Downton Abbey fans tunnel to Britain, digitally speaking, and then surf the web as if they're sitting in Britain. We might see more and more tools like that if more and more boundaries are raised, designed to geolocate to where you are.
Zittrain's co-founder of Harvard's Berkman Center for Internet and Society. My colleagues at Marketplace have been reporting about yesterday's fiasco at Google when the search and advertising company's disappointing profit report was mistakenly released hours early and hilarity did not ensue. Google isn't making as much money off ads because people are gravitating from bigger screen computers to smaller screen mobile devices. Buried in the pandemonium is news of a new super cheap laptop that uses not Windows or Apple, but Google's own Chrome operating system. Chrome software is generally based online and can't do all that much when not connected to the internet. Still, the Samsung unit looks quite a lot like a $1,500 MacBook Air and will sell for $249. There are viruses in hospitals. I mean, computer viruses, reports MIT's Technology Review. But unlike most computers, the medical variety may not allow security upgrades because that can also upset the machines. Possible scenarios are grim, from hackers who get into private records to the case of the malware that bogged down a machine monitoring a high-risk pregnancy. John Halemka is chief information officer at Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center in Boston.
Worse, I think, would be a device that functions but produces inaccurate data. And so it is certainly conceivable that malware or viruses could cause the integrity of this device to be in question. And if you have inaccurate data coming from the device, might inappropriate decisions be made that could cause you harm.
The Food and Drug Administration is super strict about allowing software updates, even for security reasons. Dr. Halemka says that needs to change. And David Milgram, who wrote a Goodnight Moon parody called Goodnight iPad, has an illustrated book on the way about a guy named Dave who falls in love with Siri, the voice in the iPhone. I was looking it up in the Penguin Books online catalog and heard this.
Call me crazy, Siri, but that's how I feel.
Okay, calling Daisy. Would you like to call home or mobile?
No doubt an ill-fated love story with the same shelf life as Anna Karenina. I'm David Brancaccio, and that's today's Marketplace Tech. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.